Did you?
Because I was asking about selling the Dreadnought. You sold Dreadnoughts as well, did you?
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't used to go to the seminar. Well, yeah. I didn't do much in it.
She didn't know. She used to go to the meetings.
I used to go to the meetings and go to the processions and all that, you know. Always up the front and anything like that, but
yeah.
I didn't have time to. They had more time off than I had.
I see.
Well, we had this big demonstration. I forget what it was for. It was always for something, so we had them all out for it. And because there's always meetings up there, other meetings as well, you see, you could go around any of them and sell your Dreadnought. And I had them hanging over my arm, because I knew you weren't allowed to sell them in the bar. And I had it just hanging a load of them on my arm. I sold quite a few before I got caught, because anybody came up with something, so whatever shilling sometimes. I didn't refuse any of it, just took it. And
Sam went back of the meeting. You can't say nothing.
That's her chair.
Oh, yeah.
She wants that place.
She's been outside. She's just followed me. See, I've been out in the garden. Now she's followed me in.
And she's 17 years old, poor old girl. And I was standing in the back of the meeting, and a man came up with a straw hat, you know. They used to wear spouters, as they call them, don't they?
Mm.
And a very well-dressed man in a buttonhole. And he asked me for a paper. He sold me a paper. I sold him a paper. I got a shilling for it. I thought it was well away. Shortly afterwards, a policeman came up and he said to me, will you come down the station with me? So he got on my arm and he came down the station. I said, what for? And he said, you're breaking the law. So I called out a sawbill, I think. I said, I'm pinched. And they all followed me and we all had summer dresses on. Yeah, it was summertime. White shoes and white stockings they used to wear in them times, made up, and they all followed me to the police station. And I will say they were very nice, the police were very nice too, and the sergeant inside, you know. And I sat there for a long time, so he said, I'm sorry I can't offer you a cup of tea. So I waited there for some, but I was there a couple of hours, I think. Oh, then Miss Smythe came along and bailed me out. She paid and bailed me out.
Do you remember Miss Smythe?
Hmm?
Do you remember Nora Smythe?
Yes.
She knew Nora.
Oh, yes. Oh, she was nice, wasn't she?
Her photo's in this page here.
I see.
I know, in that.
Oh, she made everybody. Wasn't she ever so nice? She was, Miss Nora.
She was a real nice person.
Mm. Very kind to people.
Yes, she was, yes.
Yeah.
She'd give anything, what, you know.
Mm. She was. And I had to appear at Thames Police Court.
Mm.
No, not Thames Police Court. Is it the one that's up west?
Bow Street or West London Magistrates Court.
Might have been there, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Anyhow, it was up there somewhere on the West End. And Miss Smythe was up there and she paid the fine. And I got in the box and had a swear and so on. And this detective, he was a detective, you see, who told the policeman that I was selling them because he got the evidence.
Mm. He wanted a day off.
So I told the magistrate, I said, I wasn't selling papers. He said, you sold so and so one. I said, yes, but I said, I didn't offer it to him. I said, he came up and asked me for it.
Mm.
I said, and he gave me a shilling for it. He said, well, you were selling it. Well, I wasn't selling it. Well, I was, in a way, and I wasn't, because I wasn't offering them for sale. So anyhow, the judge said, the magistrate said, well, he said, it's like this, he said. If we gave you permission, he said, to sell your Dreadnought in Hyde Park, he said they'd be selling peanuts and winkles before it was finished. He said, we can't have that. So, because I stood down and 5 shillings fine. So Miss Smythe came in, she paid the 5 shillings.
Did she?
That was the end of that episode.
Tell me a bit about your mother, because you both know your mother, obviously, very well. Was she a hard-worked woman? I mean, she had 9 children, didn't she? I mean, was she in favour of Sylvia Pankhurst? Did she?
Yes. Yes, she was in favour. Yeah. She believed in it. Because her idea was, well, if men had got the vote, why shouldn't the woman vote?
Mm.
Had as much power as the men in that case. She was. And they used to come and visit us at home and that, you know, some of the suffragettes. And that. But, she never minded. Never minded anything, my mother. She was.
No, she didn't trouble. They'd come in, didn't they?
Yeah.
They meeting and that now and again, but they'd have a Friday evening, wouldn't go around to different places, you know, the suffs and that, all that, a little sort of a talking, you know, didn't we?
Yeah,
she never had a job, your mother, then?
My mother never went to work at all. I mean, her mother and father, she was at home, and right up till she got married.
Mm.
She married young, and my first remembrance, if this is any use, you shouldn't think it would be, I must have been about between 2.5 years older than my brother, and he was born when he was born.
Now,
and I can push her down.
Come on, come on.
I like cats.
Two and a half years younger than me, and he was in long clothes, isn't he, at the time, and I don't remember how it was, I don't remember getting him out of bed or what I did, but I remember standing on a flight of stairs, they went up like that, and there was a room each side of this little cottage, and I heard her call out, "Don't move, stop where you are," and I can remember her coming up to me and taking the baby from me. I must have, my mother's told me since, must have gone in the bedroom and lifted him out the bed. Perhaps you might have thought he was a doll, I don't know. No recollection whatever. I don't know whether she hit me for lugging him out the bed, but perhaps I might have remembered that. But I just remember her taking the baby from me. But as I started to go down the stairs, with his long cotton gown they used to have on babies at them times, probably got under my feet and we'd both gone down the stairs. But that's all I can remember is that she shouted, "Stop where you are, don't move."
Was she a good housekeeper, your mother?
Oh, she must have been.
Oh, yeah, must have, wasn't she? Because we never went short of anything, did we?
We had a hot dinner every day, even if it was only baked potatoes and a baked pudding.
Mm. Poor old dad made another table out one window so that some of the, you know, because there was wasn't a very big kitchen, wasn't it? It wasn't a very large kitchen.
No, he made a table in the window that let down like this might do on legs, you see. Mm. You pushed them under like that and the table went down. And apart from mill times, it was kept down. When it was a mill, that four of us could sit round it.
I see.
Only a small room. And he was always in armchair in the corner with a paper. I used to read all the papers, and we had parties. We used to have crowds up in Carter's Terrace after the First World War. It was not during the war, the next war, but the First World War. The old senior used to go up and down, and he'd be sitting in the corner reading quite calmly. And the girls used to go down to him for a drink. Two of them used to sit on his knee, give me a drop of that green stuff alone.
Of course, it was cheap in those days, wasn't it, really?
Which paper did he read?
Which
papers, do you remember? Would it be the Herald, would it be?
What were the papers then?
What?
The papers he read in those days. What were the papers we had in those days?
Daily Herald. And he always used to like the Express. My sister used to bring it home from school, and he used to say, "Where's the Daily Depress?" He used to like to read that, but he always had the Daily Herald and all the Labour papers, more or less, you know. I forget what they were now, but they were the papers that he used to have. We never used to buy the Daily Mirror or the Sketch or any of them. I don't even know if they were out at that time.
Did you both in the women's movement, what made you join the women's movement, the East London Federation? Why did you join? Were you sorry for your mother, or
no?
What was
no,
it?
We just joined it because we thought it was interesting.
Yes.
It was. I left church by then. Left church again. We thought it was some interest in life, you know, and that, and we thought the same as the rest of them did. Well,
it was better for the world.
It was good for the man. It's good for the woman.
Sort of thing.
Mm. My mother. She was a very good housekeeper. She must have been. She couldn't have managed all the money. Because we never went short of anything, and my father, two or three nights a week, he used to be out in a shed he'd built outside, and he had an oil stove out there, and he made a hobbing foot to stick the thing to put the shoes on, to mend them, out of a old leg of a table or something, and fixed it up for himself, and I could picture him out between his knees, and
repaired your shoes, did he?
Yes, they used to make good shoes or boots.
Because that was very important, wasn't it? A lot of children didn't have any shoes.
No, they didn't.
You always had shoes.
Always well clothed. Decently clothed we were.
If you wanted, you know, you had to have good, well, then you could bend them. And of course, there wasn't sheep lots that there are now.
So he was a respect. Your parents were very respectable people.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And not drink, he wasn't a drinker or
anything. Oh, he used to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He used to go to the meetings over Canning Town, didn't he? And then he'd come out with his old tie going, People's Flag!
And mostly the Marseillaise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Freedom, oh, wave right. To glory. But apart from that, he was a good father and she was a good mother. I've got to say that. Yeah, as I say, she must have managed well because what he gave us, she had to do on.
What did you do at these meetings of Sylvia's then? How did you spend your time? Did you have lectures or speeches?
She used to have different people down to speak and entertain. Angela Lansbury, her father, he was Edgar Lansbury. Well, when Minnie died, his wife, one of my brothers came in to me, he said, Edgar's on a divorce case. I said, Edgar? Because he worshipped him, he and Minnie were ideally happy.
Nice pair,
and I said, a divorce case? He said, yes, she's been carrying on with an actress, Moira McGill. Well, anyhow, he married Moira McGill, because Angela was his daughter.
Because Minnie died, though, didn't she?
She was at the flu epidemic.
Oh, yes, after the war.
Her picture's in there, which was only a little thing she was, very small. Mm-hmm. She was very good to me, and all I used to write, if I wanted any money for anything at Railway Street, well, short of anything, I'd write to her, and she'd send me a few shillings, you know. And Sylvia, they were, they called a Cockney Fair. Mm-hmm. She hired a town hall, Finsbury Town Hall, because we used to go to Bloomsbury, didn't we, on the train. And she had that, to get there for a week. And I did all the catering for it, the sausage rolls and tarts and cakes, and didn't kill anybody anyhow. and supplied it, because other people supplied it as well, but I could have done the lot for all that lot. Well, they had refreshments up there at the hall, and Minnie sent me, I think, about £3 or £4 to buy the...
That was to raise money for the railway.
To buy it, you know, to get the ingredients for the cakes and stuff. Mm. And she said, I don't mind what I'll do for you, you know, like, very nice letter. Funny thing, I destroyed all my letters. Mm. Then my niece, John Garton's wife, she won't, she said, keep all the letters.
Oh, yeah, sure then.
Keep them all, she said, don't destroy any of them, but all the letters that I had from Sylvia, East Sylvia Payne, because they all went west. And I had the suffragettes, and two or three of them were signed, East Sylvia Pankhurst. I gave them away.
Oh. What made you destroy them? You just didn't have room to keep them all. You didn't have room to keep all these letters.
Oh, yes, I didn't bother about it. I have a letter, I'll read it, and all I want to know, and it goes to the website. I say, where's so-and-so's letter? Oh,
I've kept all the letters, you know.
She kept a lot.
All during this war, I've had correspondence, and the first old Carol, what was his name? That's I've got his letters there, still in there, all about the war. He was a conscientious objector.
I'll put on again. You went across London, did you, to
the Albert Hall? To the Albert Hall, and we just got there on the bus, yes. We didn't march up there.
Mm.
And some of them volunteered. I didn't, but my friend said, we'll go, me and Els, won't we? And of course, me and Els went, me and Daisy got thrown out of 10 Downing Street. So we were the two, the Elder Bramlap. All the other girls were there as well. They were all sitting there. And we were told at a certain time to, I kept saying, gonna get up now. I'm shivering, really. I was frightened. I'm a bit of a coward. And I felt sick, because it was full. It all was patriotic. It was a patriotic meeting, not a anti-war meeting. Not against it at all.
Yeah.
And there was poles and these white banners, old calico things that had been working up there, I didn't do any of that. They used to be a crowd up there and they paint on them, and in black or red letters, you know. And it had British warships are firing on the Soviet Republic, which I suppose they must have been doing, otherwise you wouldn't have had it on it. And we had to get up at a certain time and hold this thing up. It got up, and he must have got photographed as well, because it was in the paper the next day. To see a great big banner. We stood up there and held it up and shouted out. And a woman turned around to me and she said, "Are you a something woman?"
Bolshevik woman?
Yeah, no, that wasn't the word. Something, she said. I forget what it was, anyhow. I said, "No, I'm not." And a friend, a Jewish girl sitting in front, she said, she looked at the woman, she said, "No, are you?" And that was Annie Zietel, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And anyhow, up came the attendants. They were very kind, they didn't push us about. And they came up, and then a policeman came up, and he said, "Have you got permission to hold that banner up, madam?" I said, "Now ask yourself." I got a bit cheeky. "Ask yourself," I said. So he said, "Well, you must come out." So, of course, they led us up the steps up the Albert Hall, and downstairs, they followed us downstairs and saw us safely out. But didn't touch us or anything, you know, didn't harm in any way. We went across the road and sat by the Albert Memorial. Of course, she's got Labour, old silly night. They never had a Labour Hall at that time, either. Didn't have any Labour Halls or anywhere. And we sat over there, and of course we chatted and that, and then we waited till they all came out and went home. But we did it, I mean, we made it noticed. Another time, another woman, Mrs. Walker, she went up, I think that was, I believe the meeting was at the Queen's Hall in Regent Street, or up there, upwards. And a big meeting there, a woman's meeting it was, but not for suffragettes. And Queen Mary was there. And this woman, Mrs. Walker, she had the a private box that was meant, I suppose, for Sylvia or somebody. And she had this box. She had the ticket for it. I suppose Sylvia had got it from somewhere, gave it to her, and she went in, otherwise she wouldn't have been in, she wouldn't have got in. And she had this box, and then she had a few interruptions. And then later on she called out, "And what about Queen Mary's, I was talking about the workshops," and she shouted out, "And what about Queen Mary's sweatshops?" Now she went out neck and crop.
did you see Sylvia, after you were working for that print works in Wine Office Court, did you see her after that, or was that the last time you saw her then?
Oh no, I saw her after that, but I think she got 6 months imprisonment after that. I think it must have been after that that she did it, because I think I was working again, and I think by that time I was working in a school.
Yes, yes. And I wonder if you lost touch.
I know she said, it says in there, but sedition, you know, but I know she said, we went out to the trial, up at the Mansion House when she was being tried, and she said, why should I be arrested, she said, the same what my father said years ago, that if all men held the view that war was wrong, there would be no war. And, of course, she always said that that's what she got the 6 months for, but I bet she said a bit more than that, but that's what she... That's
but she opened a restaurant, didn't she, in Epping somewhere?
No, it was a little cafe, only a small shed.
Did you ever go there?
Oh, it's Woodford Green.
Yes, Woodford Green. That was after the one, after 400 had closed up. And I don't know where Miss Smythe was living then. She must have been living there still. They had this little place.
But you never went there?
I went there, yes.
Oh.
Because Sylvia borrowed a book from me. It was The French Revolution by Kropotkin.
Oh, yes.
Have you
heard
of that?
Yes, I have, yes.
My father told us a very different view to what the other one. And she borrowed it.
Yeah, it was mine.
She won some books and a raffle.
Well, you know,
and,
I had a huge of books. I don't know what I got it for, but anyway,
I suppose Dad chose the books for you, the two's known. And she had about six books, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I forget what the others were, but anyhow, Sylvia asked me if we'd lend it to her, so we lent it to her, and she wouldn't give me back. I went and asked her, so I told Miss Smythe, and Miss Smythe said, "I'll get it back for you," but she didn't, so Sylvia lent it to her, and she went out to Abyssinia. And we never got it. Perhaps Richard's got it for all. I probably years got it. Do you know him?
No. Didn't you see her again after that?
Oh, I saw her. Yes, I saw her after that once or twice. But I saw her in Chartres Road. She got a house.
That's right.
In Chartres Road, Woodford Bridge, and between Woodford Bridge and Woodford Green, it was a.
What was that like? That house?
It nice was house.
A suburban sort of house, wasn't it?
What else?
It was some suburbs, in a suburban house, was it?
Oh, yes, in Woodford. Woodford, of course, it's all built up now over the years, but very nice place, very nice house it was. and under the basement, and up steps in the room, she had it for an office up there. I went up there, she wasn't so over friendly at the time, and I went there to see her, and I don't remember seeing the boy at all. And yet I have got a sort of recollection of seeing a slight boy with glasses, wore glasses.
That's right, yes.
And he came in, and anyhow, she had that place. He was educated there at home for a long time, and I think she had other children there as well. She got paid for.
Was she good at practical things, Sylvia? I mean, was she good at cooking or anything like that?
No,
no,
she was a bush
out.
No, she didn't do anything of that. Very untidy.
Yeah, I was untidy.
I went to a meeting once, and a friend of mine, and she asked her something she'd left behind in 400 Old Road Road. She said that up in my room, where you never saw such a state as the room was in all my life, the bed was unmade. It was a proper shambles up there. She'd thrown everything all over the place. And so she was untidy. Mm. But she had anyone to do a job for around there, you know, people knew her.
Yeah.
She did have a housekeeper there, but this was on a Sunday. Mm. And we got what she wanted and went back with it to Aldgate. She mixed up with a funny crowd at the end, all anarchists and... She got mixed up, you know, of course, she joined the Communist Party, and I believe they got rid of her in the end. She wanted to be the one, what she wanted, you see.
Mm.
That was one of Sylvia's faults, that she wanted to be the one.
Have Gandhi there?
Yes, she did.
No, she did, didn't she?
Who?
Have Gandhi.
And Haile Selassie.
She had that.
Old Gandhi?
Yeah.
I think she had him. He lived in Bruce Road.
So.
He lodged with the, she might have had him, yes, I think she did.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you say she wanted to be the one, how do you know that, I mean?
Well, she had that attitude, like, if she didn't get what she wanted, you know. Mm. She was sort of, she wanted to be one of the bosses, you know.
She was difficult, wasn't she? She was difficult to work with.
Yeah, she, I think she was. Mm. If they didn't agree with her, she didn't like it.
Mm.
Of course, she was always hot stuff. She was a revolutionary, there's no doubt about that.
Oh, yes, you bet she was, yes.
And I think her father was, from what she said.
He was, yes.
Mm-hmm. And in that play, according to that, what she told us,
say about Adela, I mean, did they get on?
I think so. She, I've got an idea she came over once only, but she married a Labour man out there. I don't
That's
know what
right.
she used to do a lot of work. We never heard much about her.
Mm.
Not about her doings, but...
Did she, when you were running Railway Road, did she help with the kitchen or with cleaning?
Sylvia?
Sylvia?
No. No, she was no good at all at that. Show that photo of the register.
London Federation in a way, because it was interesting and there was a lot to
do. It was interesting and something to do, yes, it was. Mm. Otherwise it was just church and just...
Of course, we didn't... We wanted women to have the vote.
Yes. But still, it was an advantage that you could get some good fun there.
We used to go to church when we was youngsters and all that sort of thing, and then we've done all that.
You gave up going to church when you went to Sylvia's place.
Yeah, and I took all the kids to be christened, didn't I?
But you didn't carry on going to church then after
I stopped it, you know.
After the First World War, we thought it was well.
Mm.
Well, you think over things, you know, you thought so well.
What's all the best to church? What's it going to pray? What's it going to pray?
Mm.
Up the old Archbishop there last night.
Mm.
Anyhow, that other one got his prayers answered, didn't he? He got a crowd out, and somewhere they wanted water. I don't know if it rained there. It rained here. We only had a few drops. Opted on the Labour Party, some guild or other in Bromley, and. I didn't want to be. I didn't want to go there at all. I didn't want anything like that. I was a bit shy. And I couldn't put it into words what I wanted to say, if you know what I mean. I couldn't get up on a platform and said, well, friends, so and so. I couldn't do it. It was no good. And, I know what I can do.
You can tell the tale now, all right.
That's what Sylvia Knight said, but I don't know, I don't seem to think I do. My nephew, he wants that, his father, no, his uncle, she came home from Italy.
Yes.
And she came to see us, and she had just a very plain cotton dress on. She brought a few presents from Italy and stayed a couple of hours. And Moira Romani was quite a little girl and was made a fuss of her. And then she told me she was going to dinner. She said, "I'd have to go now because I'm meeting Miss Mackay." That was a cousin of hers. She said, "And we're having dinner, I'm having dinner with her." Is it the Portman Rooms or Portman Rooms? Somewhere
Portman
in
rooms,
Park Lane.
Yes, yes.
In Park Lane, somebody posh hotel in it or something.
Yes.
And she said, "So I've got to meet her at such and such a date." She was staying at one of the hotels, Hyde Park Hotel, I think it was, or she was staying. I went up there to see her up there. And I said, "Well, what, aren't you going home to change? What are you going to wear?" She said, "This." "There's nothing else to wear," she said. "Can't go out to dinner in that." "Oh," she said, "I can go out to dinner," she said, "I get what I like." And then when I told my brother-in-law, he said, "Yes," he said, "they'd let her in, they'd only have to look at her and hear her speak." He said, "But they wouldn't let you in."
Yeah, she had the right accent.
That's how much he thought of me. But you could hear when she spoke, you know, when she was talking. Mm. She said she used to, she had a stepmother, and she said, we didn't get on very well together, she said, and she didn't like it because she said, "I used to go out and groom my own horse," she said, "and saddle him and go out riding." She said, and she didn't like it. She didn't think it was right, so you can tell they had plenty of money. Mm. And she said, on Saturday mornings, no, she didn't tell us, she told us that, but when we were at Stevenage, the man who was looking after that house, the house belonged to a King's Council. Mm. He was a lawyer.
Mm.
King's Council, and a very wealthy man, and they'd had a couple of bombs drop in their grounds, and they let the council take it over for the children. And that's where we went to Stevenage, at Sitcher's End it was called. Beautiful old house, low, but very, very old.
Mm.
And I believe it was haunted, some things that happened there. he was a lodge keeper there, and the old boy had left him in charge.
Mm.
He was a millionaire, the old man, and he had two young daughters. He's pretty old though, and he had a Rolls Royce car. He used to come there now and again. Big old thing, it was up in Old Shadowbane. And he told us, he said, Nora Smarble, he said, I knew her well. He said that the servants used to go to church on Sunday morning in Chester. He said, they used to go to church on Sunday morning, he said, and they had a pew to themselves, all the servants, and they started from the top down to the lowest, the scullery maid. Mm. All the servants, so I'll tell you where she was. Mm. And he said, Nora used to go out, he said, and she used to have a donkey cart, and she used to load it up with flowers every Saturday and fruit for the hospital. And she used to take it down herself to the hospital for the children and that, or whoever was in there.
Mm.
And it was him who told us that. He told us quite a lot about them.
Was Sylvia a good speaker, do you think? Do you remember her speaking?
I think she
well?
Was a good speaker, yes.
Mm.
She used to hold them. She used to hold a crowd when she was at it, you know.
Mm.
I know in Limehouse Town Hall, I spoke about, she was very ill and she looked terrible. She was speaking on the platform, and that's what she said. Sir Edward Carson must have been up to something or other, right, because she said, "Look at Sir Edward Carson," she said. That's why I suppose Sylvia Knight's got it. "Look at Sir Edward Carson," she said, "and then look at me." Of course, she was a wreck and he was fit and well. So she'd had a rough time in prison, well, he hadn't, but I know Sylvia was never forcibly fair.
Mm.
But she used to look shocking when she came
terrible,
out with bones. Used to let her out and then come
did
and...
Did you see that photo of Sylvia there? In the cotton.
Oh, yes.
That's when she was at Adelaide, wasn't it?
Sylvia Knight made a comment about her.
Oh, yes.
That's to say, she didn't like men. And he said, right now, school, where she got her baby from.
That was the worst time in Bow, wasn't it? That
I think Sylvia could have got married several times. She had several on master. Because she was very fascinating.
Was she?
Wasn't all that good looking. I wouldn't call her as a good looker.
No. But she, a lot of men admired her, did they?
And she did like children.
Mm.
But Sylvia Knight puts it in there because I didn't like him. He's open told her off.
But you were saying she looked very ill when she came out.
She used to look shocking, yes.
Mm.
And she
wasn't she forcibly fed? I thought she was, wasn't she?
No, Sylvia wasn't forcibly fed.
No, she refused to eat.
I don't think she was ever forcibly fed. Neither was her mother.
Mm.
The others were Lady Constance Lytton and some of those. You know, they. Yeah. So we'd had some very good friends, a Lady Sybil Smith and a Dr. Tchaikovsky, but they all sort of broke off in the end, I suppose. When she got as much as they could afford, they just went and left her to it. And then I suppose she went against what they really believed. They wanted the vote. They didn't bother about any revolutionary things, I suppose. They wanted the vote, but she wanted not to go farther. And she, I think, I remember having a meeting in the Communist Party, because a lot of the communists were there, and proper flare-up. I don't know what it was about, but the general strike.
But when she came from back from prison, she looked so ill. Did you feed her then? I mean.
Oh yes, we saw her. Yes, and
came on stretcher and that, didn't they? Yeah. Coming about.
I took it out on the stretcher when they took it out for meetings, but of course not otherwise.
Mm.
She went from one to the other. They were all decent to her. When she first came there, she lodged in a little back street, a street that led through from Old Ford Road to Roman Road, where all the stalls were. Roman Road was the market, and there were the Mr. and Mrs. Payne. They were bootmakers, I think. And, excuse me, she lodged there with them. She was there for a long time, till they got this place in Old Ford Road, and then she had that one in Railway Street.
She lived in Railway Street, did she then?
No, she didn't. No, she stayed with Mrs. Payne.
Oh, I see.
Till they got this house in Old Ford Road, then she had her part. Norsemouth had hers.
I see.
So we had her sitting room, Norsemouth had hers when she wasn't there. And then they had their other meetings in the office, in the big meetings, in the big hall, and the dances, all in the big hall and that.
Yeah.
And somebody would do refreshments, and that was all given free. Mm. And what they got for them, they all went into the kitty, you know.
Mm. What about your brothers? Did they support her? Or were they too young?
No, they didn't. They didn't bother about it at all.
Mm.
They weren't very interested in it.
Well, men haven't got much to gain.
No, they took the vote. They didn't trouble when we got the vote.
One went into business. He was a tailor before the war. Then he went into business after the war was over. Because when he had some rough times at sea, you know, when they went, because all the boats on the, you know, the blowing up torpedoes and that. Anyhow, they came through it all right, through it all.
What happened to you? Did you stay a Labour supporter? Have you always voted Labour in your life?
Yes.
I mean, you've always stayed Labour all the way through.
Always, yeah.
Yes, and your father and your mother.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Yes.
My dad retired when he was 70,
and
he died on his birthday when he was 73.
Hmm.
But he didn't have long.
Well, did he read a lot of books, your father?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. All revolutionary books. We could read them, I couldn't read any old. Mm. We had a lot of his papers things got thrown out, didn't they? Mm.
He read the Bible right through, you know, all about the Bible and poems. And
he used to have a paper called Freedom.
Oh, is that used to
come? That used to come every month, once a month.
Mm.
I think that was an anarchist paper. Used to read that, but he didn't go out a lot. Then we're out all the week anyhow.
Always reading, wasn't he?
He'd always find the name of the book. Sitting, he had an electric light like this. When electricity came on, always in the corner, in the sitting room, sitting cum kitchen and everything else. But there he sat and read hours. He used to read late at night and get up early in the morning, he said, because he had nothing else but interruptions when he was reading, and in the morning, the only peaceful hour he had before he went to work.
How did he meet your mother, do you know?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a proper romance, really. He was a seaman, he used to go away to sea. And when he came home, on a boat, there was another seaman, showed him a photograph of his girlfriend, which happened to be my mother. And my father gets the address from this man, and he comes after my mother. Of course, that was the end of the other chaps. Mm. Well, because I suppose she fell for dad. I don't know. I suppose she must have done. And
what was your mother's family? What were their names?
They were Franks.
Franks. And was she of a good family? I mean, did she?
I think that they were
comfortable. Yeah, they knew the Greenwich, didn't they?
Lived at Greenwich. They lived at Greenwich, yes.
Mm. Oh, she.
My mother was born at Blackheath, and my grandfather was there was a letter in Greenwich in the museum that he sent to his mother before he got married, like when he was only a young man. Mm. And he was in, I don't know what war that would have been.
Napoleonic War, I think.
It was,
or Crimean War, perhaps.
Anyhow, he sent this letter to his mother and told her a bit. He said, I think the war is nearly at an end, you know, and...
lovely writing, wasn't it?
Yeah, beautiful writing. Well, we had it for some, my mother had it for some years. And she was with her father and mother when he died. And she gave it to her brother. He wanted to read it. And she never got it back again. Mm-hmm. And then my cousin, he took it, and he took it within the Portsmouth and showed it to some big boat on the, in Portsmouth. And he said he told him, it was no monetary value, but he said, what beautiful handwriting.
Mm. All said, those years, you know.
Yeah, he said, take it, he said, to Greenwich. Mm. He said, because when he went to Greenwich, they asked him, and he left it there with them, and they gave him the receipt. Well, I had a copy of it. Where did the copies come from?
Elf brought it when he came. They said they'd put it in with Lord Nelson's.
With Nelson's things or something.
You go and see it.
No, they had all their bits and pieces. Mm. Nelson's little shoes and all that in a glass. Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't been there, no.
In a glass case, you see it there. Well, this letter...
Oh, it must have been the Napoleonic War then.
He'd written this letter to his mother and spoke about a brother, I think, or something, getting married. He said, I think he's foolish. And anyhow, he told her what was going on that. And another thing about it was that Moira said was good, as my niece, was it's on the ship's notepaper, and the ship itself is on the top, the picture of the ship, the sailing ship they were on.
So was it your mother's father's father, that, who wrote that letter?
My mother's...
father's father.
My mother's...
yes, her mother's father, wasn't it?
No, it was her grandfather. Our grandfather wrote the letter.
Was it?
Oh, her father then.
Oh,
so her father. Her father, your grandfather.
And he sent it to his mother.
He was a seaman, wasn't he?
Yeah, he sent it to his mother.
I see.
And he'd been in this war. This was a war being fought.
But what did he do when the war came to an end? And what was your mother's father in
peacetime?
Oh,
he was a caretaker in charge of a... marine stores.
Oh, was he?
Big marine stores in Garford Street, in Garford Street, Limehouse.
Oh, I see.
And that was right on a corner, you went round the corner of Garford Street, and across the road, led down to the river. Mm. There's a public house on the corner, and you went down a very narrow little lane, only short, all cobblestones, to the river.
Oh, I see.
And you could get a boat, little pier used to go out there, and the boat used to go from there up
to Greenwich and all,
around that way, you know, from Limehouse.
So were they Church of England or atheists?
Oh, they were Church of England. My grandmother was Church of England, yes.
So did your mother lose her Church of England when she married?
My mother was a pretty little woman. She had auburn curly hair. And she wasn't very big, and really reckoned to be good looking, very good, very nice looking woman. She didn't go to church, but she went to mother's meeting.
Did she?
And she used to go to the mother's meetings, and they had a friend of mine, and she used to come over for her, especially after my dad died, and used to take her to these meetings. Because she was a good bit younger than him, 10 years.
Was she? Yeah.
I don't
know. But auntie was religious, wasn't she? Her sister.
Her sister was very religious, my mother's sister.
But they didn't argue about religion, your parents, then. No. They just agreed to differ, didn't they?
No.
Yeah.
He went his way and she went hers.
Oh, yeah. We used to go to communion, didn't we? Even on our blessed holidays, we'd go and I had a friend living next to us, knocking, coming this morning to communion.
Well, we used to be, when we were religious.
But you gave it up. Sylvia,
she made us bands.
Did she argue with you about it?
No, she didn't. We never went on our own with her. There was always somebody else there. I know we'd been on a holiday in Wales, and the things that happened there, of course, this is no interest to you.
I'll switch it off, shall I?
And he went down to, he went into Germany, first of all.
So your father was a Latvian, really, was he then?
Really?
Was he really? Oh, I see, I didn't realise that. I thought he was English, and
Well, I wasn't going to tell you anything, that slaps the app, doesn't it?
Doesn't matter. why didn't you want to say, anyway? I mean, does it matter?
Well, especially the Russians, you know, Russians, that and the other.
I see.
We had a hairdresser come yesterday, didn't we, and he said, I don't like the Russians. She said, you should say, well, why? What's the matter with them?
So you're both half Russian, really, are you?
Well, we are, really. I mean, But we never had any connection. My father went home after... he went to Riga, I think it was.
Riga, yes, that's in
after,
that
after 45 years away, and he found his family.
Mm.
He met somebody on the boat that had an official position, and that after all them years he'd saved up and he just went for a month. And,
did he speak English quite well? I mean,
he was never taken for anything but a Scotchman.
Wasn't he really?
Perfectly. But all his friends, none of them, they were all broken English. And although they'd been here for years, the same as him, he met them when he was on the sailing boat, you know, going backwards and forwards. Mm. And, but he was, that's what he used to say, all that he got with him was he'd say, you know, shut that bloody door. Not bloody, but bloody.
Mm.
But, You wouldn't. Nobody ever took him for a foreigner. Nobody at all ever.
He was very young.
He spoke German and Russian. And he was very. He had to leave. He had to do a bunk upstairs.
So you never felt foreign children, really. You felt English children.
Oh yeah.
He never told us much about his life. Anyhow,
no,
I think.
He did.
I believe his parents were comfortable. They kept an inn.
Did they?
And we saw that he wasn't. He wasn't held up on the course. He'd been educated there. I mean, he could read and write and everything, and spoke English. But
so why did he leave? He just liked England, did he?
He went to Germany, and then he went from Germany to America, then backwards and forwards to England.
As a seaman, really.
So how he learned English like he did, I don't know. But and as I say, he met this chap with mother's photo. Of course, he came, and she made us laugh. She said, She went to the Queen's Theatre with another chap, and I think it was my father or somebody had got on with a lovely hat, she said, all golden corn, I bet it wasn't all. And I think people had laughed at it. Anyhow, she said, she had a box, they had a box of the Queen's Theatre in High Street, Poplar. And he took her there, she said, I went with another fellow with the hat that the other man had bought me. She was a bit of a flirt, I think. She was 18 when she was married.
Was she?
Yeah, 18.
So he must have been about near 30, I suppose.
Yes, 18. Mm. I mean, he must have been 28, mustn't he?
When
he got married.
That's very interesting. So
I know a lot of people have asked about the name, you know, and I did ask a Russian, who was a friend of Dad's, and he said that it was Legsdin or something.
Legsdin.
He said it should have been. And this niece always will write it that way. Legsdin, she puts.
That's very interesting.
But I think it would be mucked about if it got from one country to another, you know, and somehow it got a G stuck on the end. So everyone remarks on it, but of course we can't see nothing in it.
Yeah.
Well, not so much now, but it used to be. You really
know,
so. I
went with a bruise I had on the arm when we were in Bournemouth a few years ago.
With the Russian Revolution.
Oh, yes, because that was in 1940. Oh, he didn't die after the... he didn't get through the war, did he? No, he died...
Was he interested in the Revolution?
He didn't die in
this...
Yeah. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Was he?
But in morning, noon and night. So was Sylvia. You had it all the time, you know. It was all the Russian Revolution. I remember Miss Martha coming into this Labour League. It wasn't the Labour Party, but it was all to do with them when I was on the committee. And she came rushing in and she said, the revolution started. It started, mate. They all sat and gaped at her. You know, they thought she'd gone mad. It started, the Russian Revolution. And I tell you the truth, I really wouldn't like to see a revolution like they had it. Really, there's been a revolution here, in a way, because the way the women have gone on, and the girls and the youngsters.